Okay, let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 4. Got really blessed by reading sections out of Kings recently. So I thought we'd just read a little bit today, and I wanted to point a few things out, but really just going to read a bit. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels." Now I want you to, as we read through a bit of this, I want you to take note of Elisha, just what he does and what he says. And for the main purpose of recognizing that the spirit that Elisha had is not as powerful as the spirit you have. Okay, I want you to understand that. So I want you to read this. As we read this, just take note of the things Elisha does, okay? And we'll point out a few of those, but I want you to just take note. So he tells her in verse 3, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, "Bring me yet a vessel." In other words, I've got more oil I can pour out of here. And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And there was still oil in the pot there. Right? And she had only had how much? A little bit, right? And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest." Right? So, you know, a pretty tough situation for a lady who lost her husband and her two sons were about to become bondmen. And Elisha was able to just give her a little bit of information that he concocted out of his own thinking. No. Right. I mean, I can guarantee you now, we've tried this with ketchup in our house, it doesn't work, right? Ketchup is gone, right? No. Seriously, though, the information that Elisha had came from God, right? But who heard it? Elisha. Who listened to it? Elisha. And who else listened to it? The woman, right? Now, when we read this, I want you to keep in your mind, I want you to think about, do you even think that you could do the things that Elisha does here? Just think about that. Do you even think you could do these things? Verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there." And so they made a little room for him, right? This wonderful guy was going by. Well, he needs a place to stay. So they, you know, be like adding an addition to a house, a little room for the man. "And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken of for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people." In other words, I don't need anything. "And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Go call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." How did he know that? How did he know that she was going to have a child? God told him. Who was listening? Elisha. So he tells her, you're going to have a child. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie on thine, please don't make fun of me, right? And the woman conceived and bare a son. I love that next verse. And she conceived. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had set unto her according to the time of life. Man, like, you know, here you are, the Spirit of God that Elisha had. It was, Jesus Christ had not yet come. He had not yet accomplished all that was required for man's redemption, salvation, had not happened yet. And yet he was able to receive information like this. Right? Do you think you can do the same? Right? Do you actually believe? I know you may think it. Do you actually believe you can do the same? Right? You know, again, a question only you can answer. But a question, when I read these records, I always ask myself, do you really think you could do that? Right? Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell in a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Wow. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee. In other words, don't worry about me, you just drive. And so she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. So Gehazi went and asked the questions, and she responded, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, lest you should think that Elisha could just get any information that he ever wanted. Who was the source? God. And this time, did God tell him? No. Why not? Ask him. Don't ask me. I don't know. Within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. So previously, God was the one who was telling him the information. See that? Right. God hath hid it from him. Right. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my mother? Did I ask you for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? In other words, you know, I didn't ask you. You're the one who gave me the son. So then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. Right. So, you know, what Elisha had told Gehazi to do didn't work. Right. Didn't work. Right. At this point, most believers might say, forget it. It's not possible. Right. I just got the wrong information. Something's wrong. Things aren't happening. Why am I kidding myself? Right. I love this about Elisha. We'll see it a couple of times here, right? He says, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Did you think Elisha might have needed some help here? Right? Didn't he already try something? Right? So he went in, closed the door, and he prayed. Now, I don't know what he prayed. It doesn't tell us here. I can probably imagine what he prayed. It wasn't about getting, you know, an extra loaf of bread tomorrow at half price from the local store or anything like that, right? He prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. Why? It just says he did this right after he did what? Prayed. Right? Who do you think gave him the information? Do you think in a similar situation you could get that critical information? Well, you should. I should. We all should. We should believe that if we needed the information, that we could get it. Do you think you needed it this time? Yeah. Look at this. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Oh, guess what's happening? And then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. Was it complete? The flesh got warm. He got up, walked to and fro. What do you think he's doing? Right? He's not whistling Dixie, right? He just finished praying. He's saying, this is quite a difference here, right? The first thing he tried didn't work. Tried second thing, almost worked, right? It's getting there, right? You see what it takes to believe God, right? You know, how often do we have situations, we try something and, you know, what we should do, what the Word of God encourages us to do, is you keep going to God until you get the deliverance. You keep going until you get what the Word of God promises. Anything short of that is unbelief. Right? So what's Gehazi doing here? I mean, Elisha doing here? Man, he's going to God. And, you know, I can't imagine. This would make a great movie, right? I can't imagine what he's going through, what's happening here, right? So he walks to and fro, and went up and stretched upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. There you go, right? That was what was required for the kid to get up, right? And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. There's probably a little bit of emotion in that verse. Just a little bit. It wasn't, well, take up your son, I gotta go. She might have cried, right? He might have cried. Don't know. Doesn't say. But I can only imagine, right? What a deliverance. You know, in her old age, she had received this child, and the child had died, and he's alive again. Wow, man. Just because Elisha got little information and believed it. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Right. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. This is, you know, just a little bit about Elisha. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. So it was poisoned, right? Poisoned pottage. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Well, you know, Spirit of God. Right? The Spirit of God. You come across situations, problems in life. Do we go to God for deliverance, or do we just do the best that we know how and muddle our way through it, right? You know, And there came a man from Baal Salisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what? Should I set this before 100 men? It's not enough. He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Not only is there enough, we're going to have leftovers. Right. And so he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Right? Who said it? Elisha. Whose word was it? Of the Lord. You see? Who did he get it from? He got it from God. God gave him the information. And now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. I don't really know how a guy who was a leper became head of the army, right? But apparently the Syrians, that was okay in Syria, right? And he was a good soldier, right? He had gotten deliverance. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Right? So Elisha is known a little bit around, right? She said he should go to the prophet. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus had the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. Didn't follow the instructions directly, because she had said, Go to the prophet, and he's going to the king. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So lots of presents, right? Because you're going to take presents, the man of God, to the king. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. So he tells the king, King, I want you to recover my... Was it the king that she told him to go to? No, she said, Go to who? The prophet, right? And it came to pass, the king wasn't very happy either. Verse 7, And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Right. I mean, you gotta ask yourself the question. Was that king even paying attention to the prophet? Apparently not, right? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. I'm going to try this thing. It's not going to work, and they're going to attack us. Right? He's looking for a fight. He's picking a fight with me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Why did he say that? Do you think that he just said, Well, I'm so strong, I'm powerful, I can... No. Right? That's not his way. We've seen his way, right? What's Elisha's way? Receive information from God and believe the information God gives him. Right? And I keep asking, I keep encouraging to us to think, do you think you can do the same? Do you even think that you'd be able to believe God to the point that you need information? I know the answer of what's possible. Yeah. But it's for us to go to God's word, and it doesn't matter how old we are or young, it doesn't make any difference. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of God, right? Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, didn't even come, he did not even go and say hi to the... head of the armies of Syria. He sent his messenger, right? So he's sitting in the back room somewhere, and he sends his messenger to go answer the door, right? Drinking tea, right? Which we all know is the revelation drink. He's drinking tea, whatever. And he sends his servant messenger to the... get this in your mind, right? I mean, he sends chariots, a whole host, and there's a whole army out, not the army, but a bunch of guys outside, they knock on the door for Elisha, and he doesn't even get up, he sends him a messenger. Why? So Naaman came, horse, the chariot. Verse 10. He says, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Why 7? And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was angry, he was wroth, right, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God. Lightning, Hollywood, Lucasfilms, industrial light and magic, right? I want all the phasers and sound effects, right? And strike his hand over the place and recover the leper, Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the water? I mean, we got better rivers back home. What the heck am I coming here for? Right? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, right? As one man said, he writhed in a chariot and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him. That wasn't me. Somebody else said that. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father... The servants have more sense than the head of the army. He says, My father, if the prophet had told thee, bid thee do some great thing, wonderful thing, amazing thing, wouldst thou not have done? Wouldn't you have done it if it told you to backflip 3 times, touch your tongue and touch your toes and, poke yourself with a stick in the eye or whatever? you would have done it. How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Is that a little pretty simple? Go wash and be clean. Why don't you just do it? A bit more sense at this point, right? Then went he down. Apparently, this guy had some, you know, influence on the man. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times. You got to get yourself in this mind. The sixth time he did it, he still wasn't clean. Do you think he might have thought, this isn't going to work? Right? He could have. He might have even thought after the second time, right? Because he's already thinking, oh, I got better rivers back home. What am I doing here? Right. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the man saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, right? And he was clean. Wow, that's clean. Clean, right? Absolutely clean. Where did the information come from? Do you think that we might need information like that sometimes? Yeah? I mean, if Elisha, a servant of God, can receive the information and get these kind of results, how about you and I, as sons and daughters of the Almighty God, right? Why ever stop in our thinking that something is not possible, right? When the Word of God says otherwise, the Word of God must come first, right? And I guarantee you, for those out there, it is not even 50th, right? But for you and I, we can't ever think other than the Word of God being first in our thinking. I don't care what you're experiencing or what I'm experiencing. The Word of God comes first, right? I'm sure, you know, Naaman was happy that he followed instructions here, you know. Where are we? Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and said, oh, I'm sorry, I was upset before. No. And stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So was his heart right? Yeah. You know, he wasn't stupid enough to stick to his previous logic. He changed, right? He says, I know this is the true God. But it is now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Let me give you something. I want to bless you back. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. Why not? Right. Is it okay for a man who is blessed to give something to somebody who blesses them? Yeah, it's kind of a natural thing, isn't it? You want to bless back. Why did Naaman say no? I mean, Elisha. Why did Elisha say no thanks? I think he's got a habit of asking God first, doesn't he? Right? Doesn't he? Isn't that what you're saying here? The word of the Lord by Elisha. Elisha says, no, as the Lord stands, I will not receive anything. You know, you might think it's some kind of false humility, some kind of religious holy humility, right? No, he's perfectly entitled. We read in the New Testament, right? Men of God who work for God are entitled to live off the tithes and offering. That's perfectly fine. Yet he, and he's in, it's not false humility, it's the truth of God, right? I won't receive anything. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules' burden of earth? See, in those days, they used to believe the god of the land, the land went with the god. If you had the ground from the land where the god was, you had the god with you. That's the kind of thinking. So he wants to take some earth of Israel back with him, so he's got the god of Israel with him. That's what he's thinking. For thy servant will henceforth offer, so here he goes, offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. That's it. He's my God. I want to take the earth with me, and I'll be able to offer there. Right? In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master, that would be the king of Syria, right, goeth unto the house of Rimmon, which is what they worshipped in Syria, that was the god of the day, into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. This is my responsibility when I go back home. I have to help my master. He worships Rimmon. I have to go in with him, and he bows, and I bow together. Please just have God forgive me. Right? And he said unto him, go in peace. See, he didn't make a big deal out of it. He goes, just fine. You serve the Lord. You got a duty to do. Go in peace. Why? Why did he say that? God told him. Right? It's pretty simple when you know, without understanding manifestations of Holy Spirit, these records make no sense whatsoever. But understanding there's a God who gives information to his people makes all the sense in the world. Without understanding manifestations, these records would make no sense. Just go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, here we go, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought him. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take something of him." You know, you think Gehazi would be a little bit smarter than this too. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All's well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim." Is that true? No. Did Elisha send him?
No.
"There be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Behold, be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of raiments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bared them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house secretly, right? Because he didn't want Elisha to find out. So they came outside and he took them and hid them in the tower and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed, right? So, but he went in and stood before his master. I think that if you were Gehazi and having served Elisha for much of your life, you would probably know that Elisha is able to receive information from God. Like, I mean, if anybody would have known, it would be Gehazi, right? Because he's there with him all the time. Yeah, you would think. But, you know, money blinds, right? Bribery and money and wealth, and they blind people, right, to the truth. Right. And Elisha said unto him, "Where were you, Gehazi? Whence comest thou? Where were you?" And he said, "Nor." Right. A servant sent, went, no whither. I love this scripture. This scripture would be probably, if I was making a movie, right, this would be the key scene in the movie, right? Where they'd kind of fade off in the vision, and Elisha would send this, in the background, in the hazy vision, you would see the scene. And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" Oh my gosh, right? Somebody was watching TV at home, right? While Gehazi was out there lying, Elisha was sitting there, and he was seeing this man turn from a chariot to face Gehazi, right? Wow. Do you think that you could receive information like this? Right? Do you believe you can do it? Well, if you don't, you should. Right? Because you're a child of God. Elisha was a servant of God, right? Jesus Christ hadn't yet done all he was supposed to do, right? "Man turned again from his chariot to meet thee. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments? And olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants." Right? "The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Right? Why'd that happen? I don't know. Right? But how did Elisha know it was going to happen? God told him. Right? Right. Well, let's read a couple more verses here. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." Not enough room here for us in this house of prophets. "Let us go, we pray thee, and unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe fell into the master, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You know, you would think that wouldn't be a big deal for him. Oh, it's just a stupid axe. Well, it's important. "And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in and thither, and the iron did swim." So he got the axe head right out. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. "And the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. But that would be many times, right? Let's just read this next little section. I love this. I can't stop here. We actually get to the section we read a couple of fellowships ago. So, you know, therefore the heart of the king of Israel, Syria, was sore troubled for this king, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which one of us is a traitor? Which one here is giving information to the king of Israel? Which one of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha has this 50-inch LCD screen in his room. He's watching all this stuff, right? 3D. Yeah, 3D. Okay. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And at this point, Mrs. Queen was embarrassed. Right? Because he's saying what he needs to see. Right? My God. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send out and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a whole army is coming to get Elisha. A whole army, right? That's how annoyed the king is there. Compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what are we going to do? This is crazy. Look, there's chariots everywhere. But he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. My gosh. Who's with him? Just his servant. Right. And Elisha prayed as he's and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wow. Do you think you could believe for information like this? Right? Do you think that, you know? I mean, that is if God wants to give it. Do you think you'd be able to hear it? You should. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me. I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria, straight into the capital of Israel. The whole army brought them downtown Israel, downtown Samaria, where there are few people. And it came to pass when they were come into the Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Whoops. The king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, My master, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Just kill them all. They're all here. And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Why not? Wouldst thou smite those with whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Right? Just because he received a little bit of information from God. Right? We'll close in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a reason God gave these scriptures, these records, the Bible, all these words that we have. There's a reason he gave it all, right? So, you know, I read those records and I find them very, very encouraging. You know, very, very exciting, encouraging, you know, inspiring, right? Challenging, right? Humorous. God is that way, you know. And if we're not at the point where we don't see even being able to have that happen in life, or we don't even think it's possible, then we need to feed ourselves more on those records that God has given to us to read, right? Because that's how believing comes, right? By hearing. And if we don't believe something that we've heard, we may need to hear it a little more yet, whatever it takes for each of us. 1 Corinthians 12. Am I in the right place? Yes, I am. There I am. In verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, for remember that's to one prophet, right? For one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, or his own, as he, the man, wills. See, all these one, these manifested, the manifestation of the Spirit, you have the ability, we have the ability to manifest Spirit. And we just saw a man who was quite adept at operating the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, right? Very adept at receiving information, and also believing, and miracles, and faith, right? And he was a servant. How about us, the Spirit of God that we have? It's only the world and these things in the world that could ever talk you out of what the Word of God says is very, very possible, right? So don't ever short sell yourself. Don't ever buy the world's lines about what they tell you you can. And don't even buy the examples of Christians around us. Right, the only example that you and I should look at is the example of Jesus Christ, and what His walk and His work has given us to do, and that's in the Word. That's where they're recorded in here for a reason. You know, if a miracle you hear about in life gets you really excited, then a miracle in here should get you 10 times as excited, because that's what God had recorded in here for you to read and listen to. And we all like to hear good news. We all like to hear about deliverances, and that's wonderful. But if we get excited about that, great. We'll read this. Isn't that exciting? Wasn't what we just had really exciting? That's exciting. I find that exciting. Right. So anyhow, that's it. A little bit about the life of Elisha, and to see the kind of walk. We've often said that the realm of the miraculous is supposed to be our natural realm, right? So that's why when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you entered the realm of the miraculous. And we should enjoy that realm and expect God's word to come to pass.